The future of reporting now.
This is Concordia News Radio.
Good morning. It's currently 15 degrees at the Loyola campus of Concordia University. I'm Jessica Jakubowicz. Here are today's headlines. Quebec urged to help undocumented migrants. A warning, downtown may be dying. And is it time for Canada to cut ties with the monarchy? The Central Union of Quebec and Amnesty International are meeting to defend the rights of migrant workers. Today at the Centre Saint-Pierre, they speak up for an inclusive regularization program for people without papers. Our reporter Leila Ahuman is there to cover the story. Leila, what are the main demands of these rights groups?
So the 18 groups came together as a coalition to point out violation of international, national, and provincial law when it comes to respecting the rights of immigrant workers. What they really want, actually, is the implementation of a plan announced by Prime Minister Justin Trudeau in response to a letter they had sent. So they had sent that letter explaining their demands, wanting for adequate treatment of these workers. And the minister replied in April 2021. They said that they would announce a plan that they're working on to regularize a program where people could access permanent residency as well as other privileges, helping them access healthcare and other decent conditions. So, however, the situation is still unclear for Quebec because the Minister of Immigration in Quebec has refused this plan that was proposed by the federal government. And they want to make sure that they're still going to keep move forward with the situation of these workers. I talked to Michel Pinon, head of the Network of Agricultural Workers of Quebec, and he says the crisis must be addressed because the work they do is essential.
The works, it's very hard for, and many Quebecers and Canadians don't want to work in the farm. That's why these workers is very important here to the agriculture of Canada.
The coalition is calling for inclusive regulation. What does that mean exactly?
So when they say inclusive, they mean that the ability to access permanent residency must be expanded. Right now, it's very difficult, and when there are measures taken to protect migrant workers, they only affect a small group of people. So, for example, papers are only given to construction workers, which are small fractions of the actual entire migrant workers without papers, who are mainly women. So one example, the examples that they're given are sexual abuse, mistreatment, because all of these women having no papers are forced to work illegally, for example, in people's homes, old people's homes, as nannies in private homes where they can be abused by their employers, as well as in other places. So it's not accurate. It's not actually protecting the people who need protecting, and it's not affecting the most vulnerable. So I talked to Shuki Gong of the Center of Immigration Workers, and he says that in the past they've dealt with that rejection. Now what they want are clear goals to challenge this problem.
Two goals. So first, the program should be implemented all Canada, including, of course, Quebec, but also the contents of the program. So most inclusive. So that means so all those without status can have access to the permanent residence.
What has been done at the municipal and provincial levels?
At the city level, the representatives here of these organizations are hopeful. They did send a communique about their demands today to six of the federal ministers present in Montreal. They're waiting for a response, but they're looking forward to it. And again, at the provincial level, it's still unclear, being the National Assembly not being all the treaties not being named yet. It has been difficult, but I'm told that they are looking forward to it, and the plan may be implemented with all these demands.
That was Leila Ahuman live from Centre Saint-Pierre. In February 2021, 86-year-old woman Candida Massarin was found dead on the floor of the ER of Montreal's Lakeshore General Hospital. The family is reopening the case of the woman's death as they believe the investigation was not taken seriously and believe it's due to race and language. The report from the coroner deemed that the woman died from a heart attack and that there was no negligence of the staff. However, the 86-year-old woman had a history of heart issues, was given a triage code of P2, which means she should have been checked up on every 15 minutes, but was not checked up on for 3 hours. The St. Henry community is rallying around the victims of a fire that burned down a residential building on Sunday. No residents were harmed, but the building was considered a total loss by firefighters, so none of the tenants will be able to go home and are looking for places to stay. Simon Fournet has more.
I talked to Kat Purston, a resident who is trying to help her neighbors. She explains the fire was a shock for everyone.
I came up to the building and there was just smoke pouring out of the building. And just to see a firefighters, and that kind of when it sunk in that like this was a really serious fire, and that you know, that there was a very strong chance that we would have nothing to come back to.
Seven families are currently getting help from the Red Cross for accommodation, food, and clothing assistance. But this help is only for 72 hours. The municipal office will be the one to take over afterwards. In the meantime, neighbors are rallying up to help those families and have created a Facebook group to find donations. The residents are still waiting to find new housing. I talked to political analyst Robert Frank, who is not surprised that these families are having trouble relocating. He explained this is in part due to the housing crisis and that this is a trend that will continue to grow for the next few years.
The fire that occurred this past weekend sets in relief the growing housing crisis that Montreal faces. It's not something that's happening all of a sudden, but it's continuing to get worse and will hit a peak within 2 years. The simple problem is that we're not building enough housing, enough affordable housing to put roofs over people's heads. And this is the result of municipal politics, well-meaning policies that our elected officials have implemented that are meant to solve all kinds of problems. But if you don't build enough of the houses, then all of those well-meaning policies are worthless.
As for the building itself, experts say it will have to be turned down. Simon Fournet, CGCN News, NDG.
Last night in Lachine, an empty car was found engulfed in flames. Firefighters were called at 12:30 a.m. to put the fire out. At the scene, they found evidence of arson and called the police. The car will be investigated, but at the moment, there are no suspects and no arrests have been made. Nobody was injured due to the fire. Truckers might not have to go to gas stations anymore. Hydro-Québec has launched a pilot project for electric heavy and medium-duty vehicles. The project will take place at the charging station in Laval. Ashka Patel spoke with Hydro spokesperson Jonathan Côté talking about the project. He says this is just the first step in the project.
To see, I guess, what types of heavy vehicles are mostly used by the people in Quebec, by the companies that have a fleet of vehicles, and how they're using it. So this is really, I guess, a way for us to test all of these parameters and then decide how we want to deploy this more widely in Quebec, depending on what are the needs of the heavy vehicle fleet.
How many people would you be expecting to participate in this project?
Well, it's difficult to say at the already how many people we're going to have participating.
Do you think one charging station would be enough?
Well, definitely one will not be enough. We're going to have to add more. Our plan is to add more stations in the upcoming months and years. Between here and 2024, we should be adding, as part of this pilot project, roughly between maybe 15 and 20 more stations.
Is there a plan for replicating this model on a larger scale, maybe across Canada or maybe across North America?
Well, the electric circuit, we are only really focused for Quebec. So our goal is to really cover all of the province of Quebec. So the long-term goal for this project for heavy vehicles would be to be able to cover the entire province and to have a service that allows the heavy vehicle users to not have to worry about charging.
That was Ashka Patel speaking with Hydro spokesperson Jonathan Côté. This morning, the City of Montreal made a $50 million deal with Hydro-Québec to protect a 2.9-hectare section of the Boisé-Steinberg located in Mercier-Hochelaga, where an electrical station was supposed to be built. Our reporter Esther Morand has the story.
Community organizations have been fighting for years to protect the green space from development. There are very few green spaces in Mercier-Hochelaga. The Boisé was in the news back in 2021 because there was a homeless encampment that since then has been dismantled. Several development projects have tried to be built on the green space, such as the extension of the Assomption Boulevard roadway to permit better traffic for trucks entering the port of Montreal. The electrical station will be built elsewhere. Assistant biology professor from the University of Concordia, Carly Zitter, thinks it's a huge advance for the city. Here she is speaking to us.
The city of Montreal is, you know, respecting how important this green space is for biodiversity and people on the island.
While some praise the deal, others like Cassandre Charbonneau-Jobin from Mobilisation 6600 Parc Nature, which is an activist group in Hochelaga, says it is not enough.
I would say that it's a good first step, but more needs to be done to fully protect Boisé Steinberg.
For now, the Boisé Steinberg is protected from development. This was Esther Morin from Concordia News.
Montreal's under the threat of devitalization, according to a new study conducted by the Montreal Centre-Ville Merchants Association. Our reporter, Lucia Cazanier, is live downtown. Lucia, how are store owners feeling about this?
Hey, Jess. I spoke with Adam, the owner of La Petite Maison, a restaurant that serves Parisian food on Bishop and St. Catherine. He tells me that lately he has seen much less foot and Uber traffic compared to the pandemic. He thinks the city should be looking at ways to fix this problem because if the trend doesn't change, he will have to consider closing his shop. When I asked what the city could do, he says the main issue revolves around
allow parking maybe on the streets in downtown, because some people when they come, they always complain about parking because there's not enough spaces. And if there's spaces, they have to pay for it. So probably do something with the payment on the parking.
What has the response been from people downtown in light of the city's efforts to remedy the problem?
So we spoke with Jimmy Zubriz, a special advisor to the mayor in business. He says the issue is that there is no regular crowd moving through downtown. There was an uprising in the summer, but it hasn't restabilized itself yet. Downtown Montreal really needs a regular crowd schedule.
Well, it depends, right? Because people are slowly starting to go downtown. And there's the other thing, too, right? In the summer, everybody was sort of busy. Well, everybody, I'm going to say mostly everybody. But, you know, the one thing that I think downtown still needs is the everyday crowd, right? And that's why I said early on, it's nice that a lot of offices now are, you know, telling their employees, we want you to come in two or three times a week.
Is downtown busy this morning?
So right now I'm in the corner of Bishop and Maisonneuve, and it really doesn't feel as busy as it used to before the pandemic. Even taking the public transport to come here, it wasn't as crowded as it should be for a regular Tuesday morning downtown.
Thank you. That was Lucia Cazanier reporting live for us from downtown Montreal. A new study reveals concerning data about youth use of vaping in Quebec. Our reporter Tatiana Moulaoué-Pelletier is with us in the studio to discuss this issue. Tatiana, what exactly does the study tell us?
The study showed that almost one in five teenagers in Quebec were vaping at the beginning of the pandemic. Teenagers and young adults are the most affected by this issue. The spokesperson for the Quebec Tobacco Control Coalition says that the study exposed dangerous patterns of addiction among our youth.
So 60% of the teens, 15 to 17 year olds who have vaped in the last month are actually vaping on a daily or weekly basis. A third of them say that on the days that they vape, they're vaping 11 times a day.
So why are teens vaping so much?
Unlike adults who vape because they are trying to quit smoking, teens who vape are mostly smoking for the first time. Quebec Tobacco Coalition Control said that teens' behavior is not new.
Being a kid means you think you're invincible. That was the same 50 years ago with smoking, and now we're seeing it with vaping.
What can be done to reduce the harm?
Quebec Tobacco Control Coalition says that vaping products are too appealing and that the government is not doing enough to protect our youth.
We've seen nothing happen since the past 2 years. And while other provincial governments are moving forward, have banned flavors, are taxing the products.
On a positive note, 47% of users aged 15 to 24 years old say that they want to stop using vaping products.
Thank you for the report, Tatiana. Last night in St. Pi in Quebec's Montérégie region, an 18-year-old and 19-year-old man died in a car crash. The car swerved off the road, hitting a pole, and then flipped over. Both men were taken to the hospital where they were pronounced dead due to their serious injuries. There is an ongoing investigation of the cause of the crash. The Bloc Québécois will force the House of Commons to vote today on the question of whether Canada should maintain its ties to the British monarchy. The Bloc says that these ties should be cut and that Canada should be a democratic republic. Russell Tellier has the story. Russell, is it realistic that a majority of MPs will vote in favor of cutting ties with the monarchy?
According to the Monarchist League of Canada, no.
How does the Monarchist League of Canada feel about the vote?
It feels that it's a complete and total waste of time.
In the world of arts and entertainment today, Henry Cavill is back as Superman, Kanye West dropped by Adidas, and American actor Leslie Jordan has died. Clément Lichat has all our arts and entertainment news.
Okay, penguins, please. I mean, that is absurd. There is no such thing as a gay penguin.
Well.
This was one of Leslie Jordan's most famous minutes in the sitcom Will and Grace. The comedy and drama actor died yesterday in a single car accident in Hollywood. He was 67 years old. At the top of his career, he received a Primetime Emmy Award in 2005 for Outstanding Guest Actor in a Comedy Series. Many Will and Grace actors and Hollywood stars have been saying a last goodbye to Leslie Jordan on social media.
The thing about it being Adidas is like, I could literally say anti-Semitic shit and they can't drop me. I could say anti-Semitic things.
Well, Kanye West just lost his partnership with Adidas this morning. The contract with Kanye West's company, Yeezy, is estimated to worth billions. The German sportswear retailer cut ties after a series of anti-Semitic comments that put the rapper and fashion designer under fire. In the last weeks, he shared posts targeting the Jewish community. Twitter and Instagram removed the post and blocked Kanye West temporarily. The singer lost support from other organizations, including Balenciaga and Vogue. Superman fans can't wait to see Henry Cavill back on screen. The British actor posted a picture of him wearing a famous blue and red costume yesterday on Instagram. He gave no more details, but said it's a very small taste of what's to come. Rumors about his comeback were circulating online, but things got more clear when Cavill appeared dressed as Superman in the last post-credit scene of DC Comic Films' Black Adam, released on Friday. He already embodied the superhero three times since 2013. That's all for the arts news today.
In the world of sport, Ilya Malinin wins gold at American skate competition. The Toronto Raptors beat the Miami Heat in their second regular season match, and the Montreal Canadiens look for a win against the Wild after Saturday's loss. Sharoma Jesse Buadu has your sports news.
To the net, diving back as Evan scores! Joel Pavelski gets the hat trick!
That was Dallas star player Joel Pavelski scoring a hat trick during a match up against the Montreal Canadiens last Saturday at the Bell Centre. Before then, the Montreal Canadiens were 2-0 at home after beating both the Penguins and the Coyotes. Unfortunately, they could not recreate that same magic against the Stars, losing 6-2. As the Canadiens return to the Bell Centre, they're hoping to clean up their defense as they prepare for their matchup against the Minnesota Wilds. Also, in the Habs universe, don't count Carey Price out just yet. The team's longtime goaltender announced that he's not planning his retirement anytime soon. So Habs fans, cross your fingers for a 2023-2024 return.
Trent Jr., a little bit of room. Oh, Gary Trent Jr. with a big time bucket.
That was point guard Gary Trent Jr. with a three-point shot that helped to help take the Raptors over the top. With 22 seconds left in the fourth period, Trent Jr. got his three-point groove back to clinch the win over the Heat. The final score was 90-98. Even with the reigning rookie of the year, Scottie Barnes, out with an ankle injury, the Raptors maintained a commanding lead during the first two quarters. However, after halftime, they lost momentum and found themselves down by eight with 10 minutes to go. The team rallied in the end to tie the two teams in their matchups. In other NBA news, the Boston Celtics lost to the Chicago Bulls 120-102.
Yes, we are! Just amazing!
first quad axel ever performed in an ISU Grand Prix.
At 17 years old, American figure skater Ilya Milian is the first ever to successfully land a quadruple axel at the ISU Grand Prix. Not only did Milian win the title, he also became the youngest ever to do so. At America's Skate Competition, Milian had not planned to perform the axel, but after a disappointing performance in the short program found him in fourth place, he decided to incorporate the skill into his long program at the last minute. After executing four other planned quads, Milian propelled himself to the top of the leaderboard. He ended up with a score of 280.37 points, beating out second-place finisher Keio Miura of Japan by 7 points. In the women's competition, Kiori Sakamoto took home the gold.
In surprising news that might make parents feel better about their kids being obsessed with video games, they apparently make you smarter. According to a new study, kids who play video games have better motor skills, memory, and mental health than kids who do not play video games. In the study, the gamers did better on the test than non-gamers, and there was more activity in the regions of the gamer's brain that involve attention and memory. It's going to be a hot fall day in Montreal with a mix of sun and clouds, and it will feel like 27 degrees. Tomorrow will be warm, but with rain throughout the day. The temperature will drop once again starting Thursday, and the rest of the week will be cooler, with Friday reaching -1. The weekend will be sunny with temperatures from 2 to 15 degrees. That's your news to 11:30. Thanks for listening. From Concordia News, I'm Jessica Jakubowicz.